Thank you so much to Lizzie for that wonderful presentation, and good morning, everyone. Really good to see you all on this beautiful Easter Sunday. To those who are visiting from Gauteng, welcome to you. I'm actually on my way to your neck of the woods after the service. So I'm going up to Joburg for 4 nights to go and speak at a conference up there. So think of me while you enjoy the sunshine down here. But what a wonderful day to be together in the Lord's house. For those of you who haven't had a chance yet to... Hello, William.
The Holy Spirit, just give me a project to pray for you. Because Mark's going to be for 3 or 4 days now to talk at 2 services here, to go away for 3 or 4 days with many, many talking, preparation, energy. I think that you need a prayer. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. But we just thank you for Mark, our pastor, Lord. We thank you for the way that you commissioned him 4 years ago to come here, for the way that he has preached from his heart, Lord. He served you with all that he has. So we pray for Mark for the next 3 or 4 days in Johannesburg. Might you just give him the right words to say at the right time, give him the strength, the energy, and the resources. And might he, as always, just praise your name to all those people up there. So be with Mark and give those people that he's going to talk to receptive hearts and minds to the word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, William. Thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate that, William. Thank you so much. For those of you who haven't had a chance yet to go and enjoy the Garden of Gethsemane behind me in the hall, there's a beautifully decorated garden. We started on Thursday night as we prepared our hearts for Easter. And Charlton Sunette is still there available after this service. It's still available for those who haven't yet experienced that. You can get your feet washed and prayed for. You can go and spend some time at the foot of the cross. There's so many things to enjoy. And so don't rush off. After the service, go and spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes in the garden and just enjoy all that that has to offer you. If you have your Bible with you, won't you please turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I've entitled this morning's message, Come and See. Of course, on Friday, we looked at the empty tomb. Today, we look at the words of the angel that were spoken to 2 Marys. Come and see. And whenever you hear those words, come and see, maybe there's a level of expectation that rises in your heart. Someone's got something important to show you. I know in our home, we hear the words, come and see every day. Tim and Gemma. Gemma says, Dad, come and see my handstand. Come and see my somersault. And for Timothy, it's come and see my cricket shot, or come and see how I bowl the ball. Paul also uses come and see fairly often. Mark, come and see the dishes in the sink. And I say, yes, come and see how I'm going to let them soak overnight. But this morning we see the words come and see in a totally different context. Come and see the empty tomb. So Matthew chapter 28, let's read the story of the resurrection of Jesus. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said he would. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Come and see. Well, the first thing I'd like to invite you to come and see this morning is come and see history made. When we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, we're not talking about an idea. We're not talking about a philosophy. We're not talking about somebody's theory. We're not talking about a fairy tale. We're talking about an actual event that happened in the course of human history. Look what the angel says to the two Marys. I know you're looking for Jesus. Who was Jesus? Jesus was a specific person. A person who was born, a person who lived, a person who performed mighty miracles, documented miracles, a person who was crucified, a real person in human history. And so the first invitation this morning is come and celebrate not a fairy tale, not a philosophy, but come and celebrate something that actually happened in the course of human history. I would encourage you this morning, in our first service, we had many people who, of their own accord, were seekers, people who hadn't yet become followers of Jesus Christ. And my invitation to them and to you this morning is, if you find yourself in a place where you're seeking truth and wanting to find out more about Jesus, investigate the historical credentials of the Christian faith. Do some research. Did Jesus actually die? Was he raised from the dead? What does history tell us about the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Come and see history made. Remember everything, and I say everything because I mean absolutely everything in the Christian faith rises or falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says if you can disprove the resurrection, if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then we are to be among the most pitied people on the face of the earth. People should look at us and disdain us and mock us. Yeah, we're praying. Yeah, we're giving. Yeah, we're celebrating. Yeah, we're singing to a God who is not alive, but a God who is dead. Paul said, if that's the case, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are to be among the most pitied people on the face of the earth. But you know what, friends? In over 2,000 years, in over 2,000 years of human history, not a single person, not even the fiercest skeptic of the Christian faith, has ever been able to produce the corpse of Jesus Christ. Here's his body. Not even a pile of bones can they point to. Because he is not dead. He is alive. He is alive. Come and see historical evidence. Secondly, this morning, come and see prophecy fulfilled. In verse 6, the angel says to the two Marys, he's not here. He is risen as he said he would. Jesus Christ is the only person ever to successfully predict their own death and resurrection. No one else has done that. Remember on Good Friday, we spoke about John chapter 10, where Jesus said, of my own accord, I lay down my life, and of my own accord, I take my life up again. It wasn't the Roman soldiers or Pontius Pilate or Julius Caesar or the Jewish people that kept Jesus to their cross. He clearly said, I've got the power to lay my life down, and I've got the power to take my life up again. Prophetic words spoken before the events actually happened. On three separate occasions, and you can take the time to read them in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus prophetically spoke about the fact he would be betrayed, he would be killed, and he'd be raised to life. Here's one example. Mark chapter 8. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is Jesus before the events actually happened, speaking prophetically about what was to happen, predicting his betrayal, predicting his death, predicting his resurrection, words of prophecy. And so today, as we celebrate the resurrection, this isn't a haphazard day. This was a day that was planned by God, prophesied by Jesus, and actually came to pass. Come and experience history made, but also prophecy fulfilled. On the road to Emmaus, remember Jesus meets those two discouraged men. Put yourself in their shoes. 2 days before, they had seen with their own eyes Jesus Christ crucified. They had seen people mock him, ridicule him, spit upon him. They'd seen their Lord die with their own eyes. And now somebody comes and whispers in the ear, excuse me, he's alive. They can't believe it. They say, he can't be alive. We saw him die. And so Jesus meets them on that road, but he disguises himself. Or should I say, he causes them not to identify him. And he enters into conversation with them. And this is what he says to them. Beginning with Moses, in other words, the very first book of the Bible in Genesis that Moses wrote. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in the scriptures concerning him. In other words, he pressed rewind. He said, let me take you to the very beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of Psalms and Proverbs. All these books, written way before the events actually happened, spoke prophetically about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so today we say, come and see history made. But also come and see words of prophecy, specific words fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. But it gets better. Number three, come and see the evidence provided. Look at verse 6. The angel said to the two Marys, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Can you imagine being in their shoes? You arrive at this tomb, the stone's been rolled away, you encounter an angel, and the angel says, ladies, I'm inviting you, come into the tomb, and let me show you the actual place where Jesus lay. What a privilege. We had a group now who went to Jerusalem from our church. A whole bunch of people went, and they saw the empty tomb. But that's 2,000 years later. Can you imagine being those first two Marys? You arrive there, your heart's heavy, Jesus is dead, and the angel says, Cassie, come inside. Let me actually show you where Jesus lay. In John's account of the resurrection, he gives us more detail, and this is what he writes. He says, then Simon Peter came, following him, him being John, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. In other words, they saw the burial clothes that Jesus' body had been wrapped in. They saw them with their own eyes, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And if you read another account, it says the cloth was neatly folded, like someone had taken the time to fold the cloth and put it on the side of the grave. What does Mr. Wright say, N.T. Wright, a famous New Testament scholar? He said, it looks as though the body wasn't picked up and unwrapped, but that the body had just disappeared, leaving the empty cloths like a collapsed balloon once the air had gone out of it. What does John Stott, the famous Anglican preacher, say? He says, what they saw was like a discarded chrysalis from which the butterfly had emerged. Amazing. Now you think about Peter. And if you know anything about church history, you know that Peter, what happened to him? He was killed. He was martyred for his faith in Jesus. In fact, history tells you not just Peter, but Peter and his wife were crucified because they refused to recant the story of the resurrection. They said, Peter, we're giving you a chance to live. You don't need to die. Your wife doesn't need to be crucified. Just change your mind and say Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That's all we're asking you. Peter said, I cannot deny what I saw. I saw an empty tomb. I saw grave clothes in the tomb. And I've seen with my own eyes the risen, living Jesus. I cannot recount my testimony. We will die for the cause of Christ. Evidence that Peter experienced that he could absolutely not deny. And you know what, friends? The most beautiful thing about Easter, and I only saw today for the first time in 44 years of being alive, was that Peter was the one, remember, who denied Jesus three times around the fire. Peter was the one who claimed to be strong. Jesus, these other disciples, they may desert you, but me you can count upon. Oh-ho. They may be weak, Jesus, but I'm going to be strong. And around the campfire, you know the story, Peter disowned Jesus three times. I wonder how he felt when that rooster crowed. And he looked into the eyes of Jesus. The Bible says he wept bitterly. I wonder how he felt. How would you feel? If you just denied Jesus Christ, your King, three times, I guarantee you Peter was broken. I guarantee you Peter thought there's no coming back from this. You can't deny Jesus and still have a future in serving him. I'm finished. And he probably went back to his fishing boat and his old life and forgot about his calling. Well, if you read the Gospel of Mark, you see the most beautiful words. He adds a little bit more detail than either Matthew or Luke. And he says, the angel speaks to the woman and he says, Jesus is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell the disciples and Peter. Isn't that amazing grace? Jesus hadn't forgotten about the one who denied him. He knew how he felt. And maybe you find yourself in Peter's shoes this morning. Maybe you're someone who at some stage, in some context, has denied Jesus. Maybe not by your words, but by your lifestyle. By your attitudes. By your values. You've denied Jesus. And today Jesus says, I haven't forgotten you. Like I mentioned Peter by name all those years ago, I'm calling you by name today as well. You may have walked away from me. I haven't walked away from you. You may have forgotten me and discounted me. I've never forgotten you. And today I'm calling you by name. I'm alive. Come and follow me. Come and love me. Come and worship me. I know you by name. Now, if you want to do yourself a favor on this Easter Sunday, and I challenge the first congregation as well to do this, go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, it's better than the bestseller you've ever read. It's better than any book you've ever read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will take your breath away because it's a chapter all about evidence supporting the resurrection of Jesus. If you're a skeptic, if you're someone who likes proof and evidence, read 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaks there about 500 witnesses. He says, if you don't believe my testimony that I saw Jesus, there's 500 of your friends. There's 500 people who live with you, who work with you, who go to school with you. They also saw Jesus. I might be wrong, but 500 people will tell you exactly the same thing. We saw Jesus crucified. We saw Jesus buried. And we have seen Jesus with our own eyes, and he's alive. Times 500. They can't all be wrong, Paul says. 500 witnesses. What about Thomas? Some of us can relate very well to Thomas because his nickname was? Anyone here battle with doubt every now and again? There you go. The rest of you are liars, but thank you, Brett. Thomas battled with doubt. He said, I know what you guys are saying. You're telling me Jesus Christ is alive. I hear what you're saying, but I saw him killed. I saw him. I was broken. When I saw Jesus Christ died, I was finished. And now you're telling me he's alive. I can't believe it. I cannot get myself to believe it unless I touch his hands. And I see those scars in his hands. And I see the scars in his feet. And I put my hand into his side. I will not believe it. You know what Jesus did? In his grace, he met with Thomas in this way. Look what happened. Jesus miraculously appears supernaturally in a room. And he says to Thomas, reach your finger here and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Can you imagine being Thomas? There Jesus is standing before you. And he's saying, Cliffy, look at my hands. Look at my scars. But don't just look at them, touch them. Look at my feet, where I had 9-inch Roman nails driven through my feet. You can touch those scars. Put your hand in my side, where that Roman soldier thrust that spear into me, and blood and water flowed out on the Friday. You can touch that scar. Thomas, I'm alive. How does Thomas respond? Well, the only way you can respond, and that's to fall on your knees and to say, my Lord and my God. How else can you respond to the resurrected Jesus? live a compromising life, put him on the back shelf, do things your way. It doesn't make sense. The risen Jesus Christ deserves a radical response from your life, and the best response is worship. History made, prophecy fulfilled, evidence provided, but the final one is the highlight. Come and see, number four, salvation offered. You see, friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has eternal significance for every single person in this room. Let me say it as clearly as I can. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, you have no hope beyond this life. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. He says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain." In other words, I am wasting my breath. I should be unemployed, and I like my job. I've been doing this job for 20, 30 years, but for 20 or 30 years, I've been wasting my breath if Jesus Christ is dead. And not just me, what about you? And your faith is in vain. You've been attending church services for decades and praying and singing and giving and sacrificing and loving for nothing if Jesus Christ is dead. I've got a problem. You've got a problem. But what about those who've come before us, those who've died in Christ, our grandparents, those of us who've lost sons and daughters, those of us who've lost husbands and wives? What about them? Paul says if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then they are still dead as well, and you'll never see them again. Look what he says. Then also those who have died in Christ have perished. There's no hope of seeing those you love ever again if Jesus stayed dead. But you know what, friends? The good news of the Christian faith, the reason why we are here today, the reason why millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people like us gather around the world today, is we know in our heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. He is alive. He reigns today as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. He's majestic. He's amazing. He is God Almighty. And he's coming back again. He's not dead, he's alive. And so we live as people with great hope, not just for this life, but also for the life to come. I don't know how many of you have been to a Christian funeral. I've done many from this pulpit over the years. And I tell you what, you battle to be sad. There's an element of human sadness because the person you loved is no longer with you. But that sadness is sort of overwhelmed by joy, because you know for that person, death was not the end. Death was simply the doorway into an eternity in the presence of the living, risen Jesus. No wonder Paul writes these words. He says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? You've got no hold on us anymore, death. We're not afraid of you because Jesus lives." Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Victory over what? Victory over sin. Victory over hell. Victory over death. Victory over demons. We are victorious. Why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who can say amen to that one? We are victorious because Jesus is alive. Whew, I'm enjoying this sermon. You know what, friends? One day we will lay aside these earthly bodies and we will be given brand new resurrection bodies. Isn't that great news, Irma? Your body's lasted you, what, 90 odd years? There you go. Irma, you won't recognize her in heaven. Irma's going to be brand new resurrection body for those who are suffering with cancer, for those who've been riddled with chemotherapy, and like my nephew, disabled from birth. He can't talk, he can't walk. He should be at school, but he's like a baby with nappies on. Like my sister who was born mentally retarded, one day she'll discard that retarded body, that infirm space, and a new resurrection body free of any weakness, infirmity, disease, or sickness. Resurrection body. Folk, there's hope for the future. Wow. Don't know how many of you have watched the movie about Jody Erickson, that famous swimmer, great athlete. As a young lady, Jody was 17 years old. She had the whole world ahead of her in terms of a promising sporting career. She experienced everybody's worst nightmare, had a tragic accident, and became paralyzed from the neck down, 17 years old. Became a quadriplegic, confined to her life in a wheelchair. But God has used Jody all over the world to bring a message of hope. And once she was being interviewed, and the interviewer said to Jody, "Are you looking forward to heaven? The gold streets and all the Bible describes heaven as being." She said, "You know what? The gold streets are not my interest." She said, "In heaven, I'll be free to jump and to dance. But the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees and to worship at the feet of Jesus." Can you imagine that? In this life, quadriplegic, paralyzed, but in the life to come, a new resurrected body, there is hope, not just for this life, but for the life to come, because Jesus lives. And friends, as I close, you see, it's this hope that I've been speaking about that has empowered people like you to keep on keeping on for over 2,000 years. People just like you have faced all kinds of tribulation and troubles and difficulty, spent time in prison, been executed, faced the normal challenges of life. Yet they have not thrown in the towel. They have never turned their back on God. They have kept on keeping on because they know in their heart of hearts, Jesus is alive. And the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has even conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. For the believer, this world is not the end. I promise you, the best is yet to come. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you so much this morning that we can be together as families, as the family of God, to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. Lord, our hearts are overwhelmed. We are so incredibly grateful that you conquered the grave, you conquered sin, you conquered hell, you conquered the enemy. And Lord, you've made it possible for us to live, not just in this brief earthly journey, but Lord, to live for eternity in the presence of the living God. Father, for those who've gone before us, those we loved who've passed on, maybe children or spouses or, Lord, loved ones, Lord, those we long to see again, thank you for the hope of the Christian faith, that we can be reunited with those who've gone before us because Jesus is alive. And so, Father, we love you, we praise you. May we live as people who believe in the resurrection of Jesus. People who believe they are victorious. People who hold their heads up high because their King and their Lord has conquered the grave. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' great name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen.